So we're making our way through the Lord's Prayer this summer, and we're almost at the end of this series, and the timing is actually going to work out perfectly, which I say was not planned, but serendipity nonetheless. And we've got as far today as, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Now, one of the principal ways that our Lord indicates that he wants the world to know that we belong to him is through our extraordinary willingness to forgive those who have wronged us. One of the hardest things to do is to forgive. And yet Jesus says we are called to be really, really good at forgiving other people. Experts, in fact, the best there are. And the only way to become really, really good at something is to practice, whether it be the violin or performing Christian virtue. You practice over and over again until it becomes natural. Now, in the course of this earthly life, people will sin against you. People will hurt you. People are going to do things that may hurt you for a very long time. And these are the people that our Lord commands us to forgive. People in our earthly family, people in our church family, people in our place of employment, neighbors, so on. St. Paul says, "Forgive one another as Christ in God forgave you." I pointed this out to someone last week when we were talking, and I said, you know, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we are in fact praying for our own damnation. Because we are praying that God might forgive us exactly as we forgive other people. But when we imitate God and we take on his identity by forgiving others, we put on the nature of Christ. There was a popular speaker who made the rounds of Christian women's groups. And she was once asked to do something for another lady who had seriously mistreated her, saying false and degrading things about her and damaging her reputation. And when she decided to go ahead and do this favor, the speaker's husband challenged the decision to assist this other lady, saying, "Don't you remember what she did to you?" To which the speaker responded, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting that." Now, you and I are being prepared for heaven. That's why we're here, and we often forget it. To learn things, to do things the way they will be done in heaven. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we pray. And that's why God commands us to forgive others, and that in itself is the best and first reason to do anything moral, because God commands it. But there are more reasons to forgive others. First, you don't want unforgiveness on you. It's sticky and it's dirty. You know, you send your children out into the yard to play and they come back dirty and you have to clean them up. And unforgiveness is to the soul what dirt is to the body. And all of the saints knew this. And they wanted to have nothing to do with unforgiveness. Thomas Merton tells the story of two humble monks, and a traveler had heard of their great humility and their forgiveness. So he went to test them. And seeing that they were tending their garden, the traveler picked up a hoe and went through the garden, chopping up and whacking all of their vegetables. When he finished, one of the monks came to him with a kind smile and said, "Look, we found a cabbage that you didn't destroy. Would you like to come and have lunch with us? The reason that the saints do not hesitate to forgive is because the welfare of their own soul is at stake. They don't want that resentment lingering within their souls because it's bad for them. So protecting and guarding their souls from ungodly distractions is an important undertaking of the saints. And harboring resentment is particularly destructive. The saints forgive because they do not want the mental turmoil of not forgiving. They don't want the health problems associated with unforgiving. And they don't like what unforgiveness does to their relationship with God. There's a second reason to forgive others, and that is to set them free. And this is very profound. Forgiveness sets people free. How many tears have been shed? How many spirits have been uplifted at the words, "I forgive you"? When you hold someone in unforgiveness, there is a kind of binding that prevents them from becoming all that God created them to be. And conversely, when we set them free, there is a freedom to become what they were created to be. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And that teaching is directly focused and associated with forgiveness. Now, when Jesus caught the woman in adultery, he told her she was forgiven. He told her to go and sin no more. And that woman probably thought of herself as a sinner so bad that there was no possible way that she could become a productive, respectable, forgiven member of her society. It was as if she was locked in a downward spiral of sinful behavior. And the Pharisees fostered this kind of guilt. Unforgiveness is the gift that keeps on giving, as someone once said. And that is why Jesus is so harsh with the Pharisees. And Jesus sets the woman free. And he not only erases a sinful past, but he frees her from slavery to sin so that she can become the person that God created her to be. Forgiveness sets people free. Here's some practical questions here. How do I forgive others? First thing to understand is that forgiveness is not an emotion. No more than love is an emotion. Like is an emotion. Love and forgiveness are acts of the will. I will to forgive you. I might hate your guts. I might hate what you've done to me. But I will to forgive you. Tell God you forgive them. Tell them that you forgive them, even though you might not feel like it. Forgive them out loud if necessary. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what it is they're doing." Well, what if I'm really, really, really angry? Well, that makes it more difficult. And here we have the benefit of time. We pray our way through it, just as Jesus prayed through his resolve in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we stay in that prayer, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, until we relinquish all claim to vengeance. Non-believers may harbor anger, which turns into resentment. Christians are not allowed to do that. But what if the anger comes back? Tell it to go away again. Who's going to hold the offender accountable? You are, by forgiving them. Who's going to teach the offender how wrong it is to treat people that way? You are, by forgiving them. What if I don't want to? Well, only children make decisions based on whether they want to do something or not. And remember, if you harbor unforgiveness, you are now the sinner. How do I know if I've forgiven them? Can you wish good for them and pray that God will bless them? Can you act toward them as if they are forgiven? Then you have. So I've mentioned now three reasons why we should forgive, and here's one last. Because forgiveness frees us too. I once read the story of two Vietnam veterans who met by chance at the Vietnam Memorial in Washington. And they'd fought in the same unit, but over the years they'd lost track with one another, and they're absolutely floored one day to bump into one another decades later. And looking at the thousands upon thousands of names on that black wall, and thinking of the enemy that had killed them, the flower of a generation, one vet asked the other, "Have you forgiven them yet?" "No," came the reply, "I can't." The first vet looked at his friend in the eye and said, "Then, doesn't it feel like you're still fighting that war?" Forgiveness frees us as well. Our Lord asks you to become good at forgiveness, so good that the world will notice and know that you belong to Him. Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of those who have sinned against us. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm our belief in the forgiveness of sins. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.